Good evening, everybody. This is Daphne Farhad of the People Speak radio show. Here where the people speak, we believe we make a difference. Tonight, the people are going to be speaking with Francesca Griffo of the Union of Concerned Scientists. Francesca, I don't even know where to start. Your credits to your favor and to your honor are just amazing. You're an accomplished writer, scientist, the director of the Scientific Integrity Program at USCS, and that in itself is just an amazing thing. How many people in the world have ever been titled with the director of scientific integrity in a world that has lost integrity? Welcome to the People Speak, Francesca.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Dr. Griffo, when we speak about the scientific integrity of our community today, excuse me, my voice is, my allergies are kicking in all of a sudden. How do you feel about that? I know that in your work, you work with the Bush community in the EPA, and you left in disgust, you and many concerned scientists, over the issues of interference, government interference, with issues that are prevalent to the health and the security of our communities here in the United States and across the world. What would your position be as far as integrity? How do we garner and nurture integrity in our scientific community?
Well, I think what's really important is that we allow the scientists to speak out, that we allow, particularly our work focuses on federal scientists and on the manipulation of their work, on the censorship of their work, on the, you know, the stoppages that are happening in the flow of information from these federal scientists to, you know, the citizens of the U.S. and to the world. And that's the biggest problem, is that we've lost transparency, we've lost openness, you know, we've lost all this, these avenues of communication, and it is to our detriment. It is to the detriment of our health and safety.
Well, you know, Dr. Griffo, often when I start many of these interviews, and the majority of our work with our guests are people that are informed, people that are actively committed to making a difference in our world today, and this is a great community that we've had with us. And what I think about when I first start a show is, what am I willing to focus on? And as I started to read your credits, the information that you have put out, your writings, your statements to the Congress, the three statements that always came up to me that kept coming back to me were awareness, honesty, and responsibility. How do we make our community aware of some of the things? And some of the things that I've read were just appalling. We're talking about the destruction of libraries and information. How does one make the community aware of such a disaster that's going on in our integral basis?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we try to do a lot of work with the media, with folks like you talking about this issue, and I think it's important, you know, for people right now. You don't have to do a lot to be informed. There was an editorial in today's New York Times, for example, that talked about these problems at the Department of the Interior. There was testimony today on Capitol Hill where the Surgeon General, a previous Surgeon General, talked about having his views suppressed during the first 4 years of this administration. There was front page articles in the Washington Post a little over a week ago connecting the dots right to the vice president for this kind of manipulation in science. I mean, it's everywhere. It's really become quite the issue right now.
Yeah, right here in your written testimony, Dr. Griffo, this is a direct statement that I'd like to read, and I was just so stunned by this. And it had to do with the percentages of scientists that had been approached to actually alter or refrain from giving true statements about their research. 44% had been directed for nonspecific reasons to refrain from making jeopardy or other findings that are protective of species. One in five agency scientists revealed that they had been instructed to compromise their scientific integrity, reporting that they have been directed to inappropriately exclude or alter technical information, such as biological opinions. And then it even gets worse. More than 2 out of 3 staff scientists and nearly 9 out of 10 scientist managers knew of cases where the U.S. Department of Interior politically appointees injected themselves in ecological service determinations and altered statements. What kind of repercussions have any of these people had?
Well, unfortunately, not much. Unfortunately, Julie McDonald, who was one of those political appointees who was at the forefront of all those changes, you know, we think she had her fingers in manipulating the science around, we don't have an exact number, but 15, 20, maybe even as many as 25 different endangered species determinations where she was, you know, collaborating or talking with economic interests who had, economic reasons for wanting to see these species not be protected. And, you know, with that inspiration, changing the way that we determined, you know, who was listed, who wasn't, how critical habitat was determined, you know, listings being denied, and on and on. She resigned, and nothing's happened, and that is appalling. I mean, you're absolutely right. We are calling on Secretary Kempthorne, the Secretary of the Interior, to really come out and repudiate her and say, you know, not just that she's resigned, but that what she did was wrong, what she did is no longer happening, and that he intends to, you know, prosecute her to follow up and make sure that there are repercussions for these horrible things that she did. But instead, we have silence.
And how do you create transparency under the circumstances? Obviously, as in the media, being in the media, we understand the nature of media, and we understand that people have to have jobs. And a lot of this work is under grant basis. A lot of this is the livelihoods and the careers and the credibility of years of work. How does one maintain their integrity and maintain a position or a job at the same time?
You know, it's very hard, and we are not blaming the scientists themselves. We understand by any means. I mean, we understand that they are, you know, for the most part, very hardworking, devoted individuals that are doing the best they can under the current circumstances. I mean, this is not meant to, be a negative thing about them at all. One of the things that we're trying to do, our current work right now, is with the Food and Drug Administration. And tomorrow, in fact, a bill will be voted on in the House that has already been voted on in the Senate. And one of the things that we're working very hard that is in the Senate version, and we want to get it into the House, into the conference version, because they'll come together to create a final version of this bill, and it's called the Food and Drug Administration Revitalization Act, is to have this transparency. So when a scientist, like the ones you're talking about at the Food and Drug Administration, finds something that, you know, is wrong or problematic, they are able to speak out. What happens with a drug is that the company that's manufacturing the drug or wants to manufacture the drug submits all kinds of research results to the agency for them to look at in order to decide if the drug is safe. And in many of these instances where we've had, you know, these horrible situations with Avandia, with the antidepressants, with Vioxx, with Ketek, these scientists at the front line in the agency have known something was wrong, and there was no way for them to speak out. So if we can get this language that's in the Senate bill, you know, into the final piece of legislation, it will say that these scientists' dissenting opinions must be heard. That if a supervisor of one of these scientists is going to change an opinion, they have to come up with a scientific basis to do that, and that will make it much harder for them to do. So transparency in decision-making is critical at the FDA, at the Fish and Wildlife, at the Environmental Protection Agency, at all of our regulatory agencies. This is key.
You know, we used to call this, and I'm dating myself here, we used to call this the open door policy. Does that even exist anymore?
I don't know. What do you mean by the open
door? Good question. I was kind of hoping you'd be able to answer that for me, because we're not sure either anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, transparency is a good thing. I mean, the whole scientific process is based on the free and open exchange of ideas and information. And that is how it has to be. I mean, that is one of, you know, the major tenets of a democracy, is to have that free and open exchange. And we're just, you know, we're seeing that being trampled on all the time now.
You know, the association, this incredible organization that you're affiliated with, has more than 12,000 scientists that have signed on. Many of them are Nobel laureates, National Medal of Science recipients, and 195 of them were National Academy of Sciences members. And they come from both sides of the fence. Both they're both liberal and democratic and Republican. And so what we're looking at here is genuine concern from the scientific community as to what's happening in our life. One of the things that I still have a really hard time understanding, Dr. Griffo, is global warming. Why is there still a debate? Why is there even a debate any longer on the effects of global warming?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just a hard thing for people to get their head around. And I think, you know, we cannot completely discount the idea, the notion that these federal scientists had a gag order for so long. I mean, for so long, if a member of the media called one of these agencies like NOAA or NASA to interview a scientist, that, you know, that process was micromanaged to make sure that nobody was out there raising the alarm about climate change, about global warming, about the repercussions and consequences. Now, you know, obviously it's not cause and effect, but it is one heck of a correlation that for so long these scientists were not allowed to speak out, were not allowed to talk about these issues, when in fact, you know, the Constitution guarantees your rights as a scientist to speak out. If you are reporting research results, you know, you should be able to do that. If you want to go one step further and interpret those results or talk about policy implications, you can still do that as a private citizen. You simply need to say, I'm no longer speaking for my agency. I am now speaking as me, private citizen, who feels this way on this issue. And yet we're having scientists being told that they can't even do that. The media policies of many agencies do not allow scientists to speak out as private citizens. And this is a huge loss to all of us.
And do you think a majority of that reasoning is because a lot of it is government funded?
Well, you know, we're all citizens. Whether you are a federal scientist, whether you work for the federal government or not, you know, yes, as a representative of the agency, there are channels, there are, you know, places that you need to go through and talk to about speaking out and, you know, and keep people informed. But, you know, as a private citizen, we are not restricted within reason. I mean, we are allowed to speak out. We are encouraged to speak out. And the loss of the dialogue with these federal scientists is gigantic.
Well, you know, one of the things that I think I find the most disturbing is in most recent years, of course, we've heard the fiasco with the government agencies of FEMA. The FDA has been fraught from the very beginning with unbelievable accusations, and accusations that are in some cases astounding, such as the Bayer pharmaceutical company selling AIDS-tainted blood to hemophiliacs in Europe in order that they not lose their profit margin. And here now we have the NASA scientists, we have some of the scientists that are talking about, I believe it was the physicist James Hansen, who did the study of the Atmospheric Chemistry Journal, and he said that we're reaching a dangerous tipping point and that, you know, we are as close as within 10 years of reaching this point of no return. And yet his director, the NASA director, specifically stated that he felt very benign, very unconvinced statements to the media. And even on public radio, James Hansen was quoted as, when asked what he thought of his director, I believe his name was Michael Griffin, the administrator, his statement was, Michael Griffin obviously hasn't read my report. Now, how do you reconcile this kind of the scientists against the bureaucracy within the government groups?
Well, I mean, I think, again, it's very clear this is why we need media policies that not only allow scientists to speak out, but promote their speaking out. I mean, the purpose of a public affairs office at a federal agency ought to be to create the opportunities for federal scientists to communicate with the American people, who are, after all, paying their salaries. I mean, that ought to be what that's about. It ought not to be a role of gatekeeper, a role of repressing information, censoring information. I mean, that is not what they should be doing. And yet, you know, we have a lot of evidence. Our report is on our website, www.ucsusa.org. It's called Atmosphere of Pressure. You can find it under the Scientific Integrity Program. We have the results of over 40 interviews with scientists and public affairs officers at NASA and NOAA and EPA, as well as the results of our survey of, you know, many, many hundreds of scientists and their replies to that survey. I mean, it's there. They're telling us that this is happening. It's no longer just James Hansen. You know, we now know that this is happening across agencies, across the board. And I think, you know, global warming is here. We have to deal with it. We do have smart, practical solutions, but we need to resolve to see them through. And until, you know, scientists are able to communicate with the public, that resolve is going to be hard to come by.
Well, I have to his credit, James Hansen absolutely had no qualms about saying that he believed that his administrator was wrong and that he obviously was not in touch with any of the criteria and the work that they had developed in this study. And I found that to be wonderfully credible, in my opinion. People like James Lovelock, many have called him the Green Guru, and he created the Gaia concept, seems to think that we're already too late and we can't reverse what's done.
It's never too late. I believe in American ingenuity. I believe in, you know, the power of the human spirit. We can lead the world. We can create, you know, the solutions. We can create economic opportunities at the same time that we're creating the solutions. I mean, it's not good out there. I'm not, you know, sitting here being a blind Pollyanna. I mean, this is a huge issue. We are seeing the ramifications. We are seeing the changes. And certainly there will be some things that are not reversible. But we can create a situation where we have, you know, a great world, great opportunities. You know, it's not over by any means. This is not time to be cynical and accepting of this. Not at all.
For those of you that have just joined us, we're speaking with Dr. Francesca Griffo of the Union of Concerned Scientists. The Union of Concerned Scientists is the leading science-based nonprofit working organization for a healthy environment and a safer world. Dr. Griffo, speaking of these things and the bureaucracy behind it, and given the bureaucratic red tape and the pace at which governments legislate and the fact that it's still an astoundingly large number of people that don't even believe that global warming exists, wouldn't it take a complete 180 degrees turnaround in order to make a difference at this point?
There are many things that, you know, we need to do now to make that turnaround. And, you know, there's a lot of amazing stuff that's going on the Hill right now. There are lots of pieces of legislation that are out there. We have to work to make those pieces of legislation as green as we can. But I think, you know, the issue that we focus on is really that these scientific abuses, you know, create the situation where we don't know about some of these problems as soon as we should know. You know, that the science has been distorted and manipulated. I mean, we have evidence from 18 agencies, dozens of issues, everything from, you know, childhood lead poisoning to toxic mercury. I mean, it is not just climate change. It is, in fact, all the way across the board. And we have a very cool thing on our website called the A to Z Guide to Political Interference in Science. And what we did was we took a little license, sorry to all the chemists out there, with the periodic table, and each of the symbols on the periodic table now represents an abuse in science. And as you scroll over these, you'll get the name of the abuse, and you can click, and you'll come to a page or two long summary of that particular abuse of science. Now, what I think is really great about these summaries is they are documented with primary literature. You don't have to believe me. You can go in there and read the quotes, read the testimony from Capitol Hill, you know, read the documents that we've obtained under the Freedom of Information Act or our colleagues have obtained, and see for yourself what you think about all this and see the diversity of these many, many examples. And I would really encourage your listeners to do that, because I think armed with that information, you know, the next step is to start speaking out, is to start writing letters to the editor, is to start questioning, you know, what's going on in their communities and why this is so.
And for those of you that think that this is a difficult process, don't. I'm sitting here as we speak at the A to Z Guide to Political Interference in Science, and it's just wonderful. This is just an incredibly easy site. Now, if you scroll over, and you stop wherever you want to stop. Right here I'm at E is for Endangered Species Act Scientific Underpinning. You click on it, and you have a whole array of information right at your hand. So please go to the website and look into this. I think, and I was just, because that was one of my questions. I was going to say, you know, one of the is the most, difficult is becoming more user-friendly. In order for the average Mary Jean or Joe to down the street to understand what's going on, I think we have to make it on a level where not everybody speaks in scientific terms.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on that front, actually, let me just dive in here for a second, because we have a really fun thing on our homepage. We've created a contest this year called Science Idol. And what it is we had a cartoon contest, and we had hundreds and hundreds of submissions of political cartoons on the scientific integrity issue from across the country. And the voting is open now. So all of your listeners can go to our website and actually vote. We had two Pulitzer Prize winners and some other leading cartoonists to help us to narrow down the entries to 12 finalists. And it's up to America to decide which of those finalists is, you know, the cover of our calendar that we'll do for next year. It's a very fun
that
way
is so
to
exciting.
Think about this
issue. We're going to have the winner of the contest on our show here, Doctor.
That'd be great. They're just, you know, regular people from across the country who are amateur cartoonists, and they're amazing. There are some really, really great finalists this year, and there were some phenomenal finalists last year. And last year's calendar is still available.
Isn't that great? Well, I just briefly, we're going to be breaking in just a minute, and I want people to know that we'll be accepting phone calls. Dr. Francesca Griffo will be speaking to the listeners of the People's Right here at our show, and it's an honor having you with us. You're no newbie to the scientific world. What is your favorite thing to do, Ms. Griffo?
My favorite thing to do in the whole world?
Yeah. Whole world.
You know, it's hard because I have two beautiful boys who I love to spend time with, and I love to garden, and I love to be out hiking, and I just, there's just a million things. I'm sure I couldn't choose one.
I can imagine that being somebody that really enjoys the outdoors and has children such as you do, that is so involved in the integrity of the scientific community, has a hard time looking around and wondering why dangers still lurk in a society when, through all intents and purposes and with transparency available, it really doesn't ever have to be, does it?
It doesn't. I mean, unfortunately, you know, we see example after example where ideological interests, commercial interests, bump up against good government, and they win, and good government loses. And it's a huge problem. It's not just in the scientific arena. I think we've seen it with the attorneys general. We've seen it, you know, in so many different examples across our government right now, instances where, you know, honesty is not the best policy, where honesty is not what is ruling the day. Information is not what decisions are based on. And I think we all have to be, you know, aware and on top of this in our regular lives. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that people can do, and I hope they'll come to our website and sign up and be a part of our alert network and join us, because there's a lot to be done.
This is a fantastic website, again, for those of you, very user-friendly, and I think that's the key. I think the common person needs to stop being intimidated by the science that's involved in a lot of this, because it can be overwhelming. I think you guys in the community itself are overwhelmed, let alone we hear that are just wondering if the sky is going to be falling. So please go to the website. We have been posting the website in the room. It will be it is on our site, www.thepacificradio.org. And please visit and become aware, become the alerter. We'll be right back in just a few minutes with Dr. Francesca Griffo of the it'll just be a couple of minutes, guys. Get your questions ready. Everybody can see the hands and flying up in the air. Our phone call, I'll give the phone number out as soon as we come back. Thank you very much, and we'll be with you in a moment.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes. You know, when Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held serious bipartisan investigations that did result in articles of impeachment. He resigned before he could be impeached, but strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war, lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court orders, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, tortured, used illegal weapons, and targeted civilians. Ask your Congress member to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Got questions? The library's got answers. And books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Join host Basima Farhat on The People Speak as she interviews guests from the realms of politics, activism, spirituality, science, and entertainment. That's Tuesdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on The People Speak, an audience interactive program where your voice counts.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak Radio. Our guest this evening is Dr. Francesca Griffo of the Union of Concerned Scientists, a leading science-based nonprofit organization for a healthy environment and a safer world. Welcome back, Dr. Griffo. How are you?
Thank you very much.
We have some questions from our audience. Derry from Connecticut has a question for you.
Great.
Thank you, Basima. Hello, Dr. Griffo. It's a pleasure to have you with us tonight. My name
Thank
is
you.
Dari, and I'm calling from Connecticut. But I'm asking a question for someone in our auditorium, our virtual auditorium tonight, that does not have a microphone. His name is Jamal, and he's from New York City. His question is Henry Waxman planning to change the way the Bush administration is handling the climate changes? So that's the question, and back to you, Basima. Thank you.
Thank you, Derry. Go right ahead, Doctor.
Yes. In fact, Congressman Waxman has been at the forefront of exposing a lot of these issues with climate. He's held, oh my goodness, 3, 4, 5, 6 hearings since, you know, the Congress changed in January on that very topic, on at least 3 of them on the suppression of science. And a hearing is, you know, a great opportunity because he gets to get, you know, people from the opposing both sides of an issue to essentially be cross-examined. I mean, it's just like sort of like court TV in a way, because he is prepared and all the members of the committee from both parties are prepared, and a lot of questions get asked and a lot of information gets aired, and he has certainly been at the forefront of trying to expose the suppression of science at these climate agencies. And his committee is called the Government Oversight and Reform Committee. They have a website, and there's a huge amount of information on that committee's website about the work that he's been doing.
Francesca, give us some names. Give us some names of concerned congressmen, senators that we can look at. We obviously are coming into an incredibly important voting year, and our audience is concerned. We want to know, who do we need to look for? Who is at the forefront of these issues? Who has the integrity and the fortitude to do that? Give us some names.
Oh, you know, it's been just so gratifying because there are a lot. As your listeners are probably very well aware, you know, a lot of new folks came into Congress this year, both sides of the aisle, both the Senate and the House. And some of these new folks have been just amazing in terms of their commitment and quick understanding of this issue. Bruce Braley, who is a congressman from Iowa, has just been a real leader on this issue. And then there are people who have been there for a very long time who have been phenomenally out in front on this issue. Barbara Mikulski, Senator Mikulski, my senator, as a matter of fact, from Maryland. These folks who work for these federal agencies are her constituents, and she cares very deeply about them and has been very concerned about these issues. She, you know, requested a report by the Government Accountability Office looking into these media policies. She's been very concerned. Even from the other side of the aisle, Congressman Grassley, Senator Charles Grassley from Iowa, again, has been in the Senate for a very long time, very, very concerned about openness and transparency and whistleblowers and the huge numbers of problems at the Food and Drug Administration. An amazing champion. And I could go on and on. I mean, there are many, both young and old, male and female, Republican, Democrat, from all parts of the country that have been concerned. Now, is that enough? No. Do we need to support them?
Wonderful.
Absolutely. Sorry?
I said that's wonderful. It's amazing, you know, because... We are almost losing hope here.
No, and I think we have to write to our senators and congressmen.
I am not a person that loses hope easily, but it's frustrating to know who to vote for.
Yes, it is. It's difficult to know, and I think that, you know, it's not so hard to go in and look at their websites and look at their positions on these issues, and, you know, see where they fall on this. One other way to follow this, because God knows we are all so busy and have so many things going on, it's often very hard, is really to come to our website and join our alert list. Now, if you're a scientist, we would love to have you sign our scientist statement and be a part of that network. But if you're not a scientist, not to worry, we can still use your help. And when we have an issue that comes up, you know, we'll let you know how people are voting and what they're doing on an issue and who we should thank and who we should spank when they don't do the right thing. So come join us in this fight.
Absolutely. Go to the site and join up, guys. Our next caller is Mike from California. Mike, do you have a question for Dr. Griffo?
Yes, Dr.
Hello, Mike.
Griffo. On the outside chance that you might be one of those interested in what happened on 9/11, are you one of those scientists, or do you know scientists that question the validity of the government version of what happened on 9/11? Do you believe demolitions were used, or that there was some way the United States might have been involved or negligent in what happened on 9/11? Thank you.
Well, I do think, you know, in a whole series of public statements that were issued after the terrorist attacks, you know, the Environmental Protection Agency assured the people of New York that the air around Ground Zero was safe. And unfortunately, you know, they just didn't have the authoritative information on which to base those claims. You know, there is internal agency information which, you know, conflicts with the reassuring public posture, you know, that they were putting out there. Their press releases, their public statements after 9/11, were, you know, unfortunately vetted by Condoleezza Rice and not by the scientists who should have been vetting them. You know, Christine Todd Whitman has been quoted saying, you know, given the scope of the tragedy from last week, I'm glad to reassure the people of New York and D.C. that the air is safe and so on. And just recently, she's come back and said, actually, she was pressured into saying that by this administration, that she knew, she was worried, she was concerned. So, yeah, I mean, there were big problems there with the air quality.
I mean, is the community that you're dealing with right now, the Concerned Scientists Union, are they working to try to understand the effects of what happened after 9/11 on the health and of the community there?
That is not an issue. We're not a public health group, but there are certainly many, many nonprofits and non-governmental organizations out there that are concerned. I mean, our concern is the broader issue, which is, you know, when we repress the science, when we politicize the science, people suffer. Their health suffers. They're in so many different ways. And what happened at Ground Zero is just one example of where the science was suppressed. The science wasn't there to be able to proclaim that it was safe. And yet we had political leaders proclaiming it was safe. It's dangerous.
So in other words, they were doing the work of the scientists and not very well.
They were misquoting and misusing that information, yes.
Do you think there was any intent in that area, Doctor?
Well, I think, you know, it was very difficult. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible time. I mean, I myself lived in New York City at the time, and it was, you know, frankly, frightening and overwhelming for many of us. But that certainly does not excuse giving people false security, having so many people down there working, having so many people move back into the city so soon. But again, there were huge economic interests at stake. And again, this is where we see the manipulation of science, where these deep commercial interests bump up against a scientific reality that isn't, you know, that doesn't support what they want. I mean, I'm sad to say it, but there's so much greed, and, you know, and that greed comes out when we see somebody looking and saying, gosh, you know, if nobody knows this, then I'm going to be able to do what I want to do with impunity. And so we see the science suppressed.
You know, we obviously know that in a capitalist society, there's always going to be the pitfalls of the profit and gain margin that is to be had. But who are the people that are stand to gain from information not being presented? Like, let's say, in the area of endangered species. I often wonder about this. Like, who would care?
Well, I think who cares in many of those instances are adjacent landowners or landowners where these species are found who want to do economic development, who want to, change the lands in various ways and may not be able to do that if there are endangered species there. Huge issues. Particulate matter is another one where the Environmental Protection Agency has disregarded and misrepresented the recommendations from their own scientists. You know, they recently finalized new air pollution standards that do not sufficiently protect public health, and these are for the fine matter particulate pollution. Well, where does the fine matter particulate pollution come from? You know, it comes from agricultural activity, vehicle exhaust, emissions from coal-fired power plants. I mean, all of those people would have to spend huge amounts of money to correct that situation if the Environmental Protection Agency were to dramatically change those standards such that they really did protect public health. So obviously, you know, those are the kinds of constituencies that don't want to see this happen.
I see. We have another caller, Malik. I'm not sure where Malik is from. Malik, will you come to the microphone and give your question to Dr. Griffo? Hello? I guess Malik isn't there. Dr. Griffo.
I do apologize. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Asthma. I have a question for you, Dr. Griffo.
Yes.
I understand that much of your analysis comes from environmental and concerns. I'm curious as to what you have to say about medicine in particular. I've looked at Michael Moore's documentary. And do you believe that scientists and or pharmaceutical companies are dedicated to curing patients as opposed to prolonging illnesses? That's my question. Thanks a lot.
That's an interesting question. You know, the work that I do really has to do with the institutions that are set up to protect you from whichever way that goes. And that is the Food and Drug Administration. Our work has been to talk to the Food and Drug Administration scientists and ask them, you know, what's going on at that agency, because they are the ones that should be looking at these medicines to make sure that they are, in fact, curative and safe. I mean, the words that are in the FDA, you know, the Food and Cosmetics Law, which dictates how the FDA is run, you know, talk about efficacy and safety. And I think those are the two things that are at the heart of the issue that you bring up. And it is the Food and Drug Administration that is charged with making sure that the things that are available to us, the foods and the drugs that are available to us, are in fact safe and effective. And yet, you know, we have hundreds of scientists, 378 scientists at the Food and Drug Administration disagreed that the Food and Drug Administration is acting effectively to protect public health. Frightening. Absolutely frightening. 457 scientists that think the Food and Drug Administration does not routinely provide complete and accurate information to the public. I mean, it's just unbelievable how many problems there are at that particular agency. And, you know, this affects the scientists that are concerned. You know, 427 say that they did not respect the integrity and professionalism of FDA leadership, and on and on and on. So it's a very big problem that you speak about. But, you know, the buck should stop with the Food and Drug Administration. And right now, it's not. And we need to make sure that this legislation that is actually going to be voted on by the House of Representatives tomorrow in its final form includes language about conflict of interest, includes language about transparency, and really strives to clean up the situation at the Food and Drug Administration.
Dr. Griffo, one of the things that I find the most disturbing about a lot of the information that the FDA issues is the fact that they minimize, I think anyway, they minimize the impact of the percentages that they use in order to garner support or the lack thereof of a particular drug, such as in the case of Vioxx. They estimate that close to 55,000 Americans died from Vioxx. Now, according to the earlier reports when Vioxx was first taken off the market, they started giving you these slight percentages, but if you look at the number, 55,000 people, that's a lot of people. And
it
no
is.
Percentage can, and yet the percentages make it sound like it was a very insignificant a number.
I think it's extraordinary because there is a scientist at the Food and Drug Administration named Dr. David Graham. And he was one of the very, very early folks who pointed out the problems with Vioxx. And the way that he put it is he talks about those 55,000 premature deaths from heart attacks and strokes, and he calls it the equivalent of allowing 2 to 4 jumbo jetliners to crash every week for 5 years. Now, can you imagine us not cleaning up the Federal Aviation Administration if they allowed that to happen? And yet here we have the Food and Drug Administration's failure to recall that arthritis drug, resulting in 2 to 4 jumbo jetliners full of people to crash every week for 5 years. It is. It's extraordinarily, you know, frightening.
It is, and very disturbing. And I think that's one of the things I think we have to remember here in the United States. If you make anything transparent, make sure they understand that human beings are human beings, and they are not numbers, and they are not digits, and they are not percentage figures in there, not decimal points. I think that's a very vital part of what I believe to be the transparency. Our next question is from Johan. Please give us your question. She's from Canada. We seem to be experiencing a little bit of lag here. Go on, Johan. Hello? Doesn't seem to be coming through. If we can get you up here, Johan, we will try again. We are fighting a war currently, Doctor, a war in Iraq, a war in Afghanistan, potentially more wars coming up. And the issue of depleted uranium has been forefront in a lot of articles that we've been reading. A lot of interviews that we have done here on our show, Dr. Joyce Riley, an expert in depleted uranium, is just astounded by the impact of what's happening in our community and what's being brought back from Iraq for jet streams. Is the community that you're working with concerned about any of these issues at this point?
At this time, we don't have evidence of the misuse of science specifically there. The example that we have that is most closely related, though, has to do with the administration's use of faulty intelligence in making its case for the war against Iraq. It drew a lot of attention from the media, and, we know that they knowingly disregarded scientific analysis of intelligence data that contradicted the case for war. They repeatedly stated that Iraq had attempted to acquire more than 100,000 high-strength aluminum tubes for gas centrifuge that were to be used for enriching uranium. And obviously, highly enriched uranium is one of the two materials that can be used to make nuclear weapons. And the claim was made by Condoleezza Rice, by President Bush on September of 2002 in his address to the UN. He repeated this claim on several occasions, and even in his State of the Union address in January of 2003, and over and over and over again. Well, in fact, we know that that wasn't the case. That the DOE, Department of Energy experts, pointed out that if these tubes were actually intended for this purpose, there would be evidence of attempts by the Iraqis to acquire hundreds of thousands of other very specific components. There was no evidence for this, and so on and so forth. So the claim that the tubes were intended, for this manufacturing of uranium for nuclear weapons was just, totally unsubstantiated.
As well as most of the other evidence that they used to engage in a very unpopular war. We have a question again from Malik. Malik from Indianapolis, will you please give us your question for Dr. Francesca Griffo?
Yes, thanks. Dr. Francesca Griffo, I'd like to know your views on universal health care. As a scientist, do you think that it would benefit us in general if we had universal health care in our society? And if you do believe that we should have some sort of universal health care, what political party do you believe would we more likely get this from, and what political party would we most likely not get this from? Thank you.
Well, Malik, I'll tell you, it's a very, very huge, complicated issue, and it is not one that I work on directly. But what I can tell you is that outside of that universal health care question, we have, many, many other institutions, federal institutions, that profoundly affect the quality of health that Americans experience. The National Institutes of Health, the Centers for Disease Control, the Food and Drug Administration, and so on. And, what I work on is making sure that those agencies, in fact, are not manipulating the science, are not misrepresenting the science, are, in fact, doing the research that we need so that we can find the cures and information that we need to help people feel better and get rid of so many of these diseases, that they are, in fact, monitoring public health, at the CDC, and that, in fact, the Food and Drug Administration is able to determine that, you know, when they say something's safe, that we can rely on that and know that it's safe. I mean, those are really the issues that I work on. Now, there are many public health issues that are, you know, where the science has been manipulated. I mean, we've got examples from HIV, AIDS education, from the Reproductive Health Advisory Committee being manipulated, promoting abstinence-only sex education. I mean, there's just the science on that. You know, problems at various different panels at NIH, the workplace safety panel, problems with breast cancer research, childhood lead poisoning, and on and on and on. So there are many, many issues that profoundly affect the health of Americans, in addition to universal health care, which I don't mean to, you know, imply is not important, but we are working on these other issues in the public health arena, which are also very important.
Well, not only other issues, but just the fact that we have so many organizations, so many community-based assistance programs, and if they're not effective, if they aren't transparent, if there is information that's being suppressed, what good is it? How can we expect a better system by universal health care if we haven't nurtured the system we currently have now?
Well, I think, you know, that's true. I mean, I think that the science needs to be not manipulated. Science is not partisan. There are not, you know, there isn't Republican science and Democratic science. There's science with integrity and science that is problematic because it lacks integrity. And we need to make sure that the institutions we currently have, as well as any we may create as brand new institutions, have integrity in the science that they do.
Well, we have one more question. We're going to try to get Joanne from Canada up to the phone line again. Joanne, do you have a question for Dr. Griffal?
Hi. I hope you can hear me now. yes, Dr. Griffal, being from Canada, I'm curious if you work much with our Canadian scientists. And to go back to Malik's question about the drugs, you know about the controversy about Americans getting their medications from Canada. I'm just wondering what your views are on that. And when this is over, I'm going to have to take a piece out of one of our moderators. Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joanne. You know,
okay, how do I get it off? There we go.
From time to time, as I, you know, do public speaking and am engaged in different places, I do have Canadian scientists who come and speak to me, who come and talk to me about concerns that they have within Canada. Now, unfortunately, we are busy enough with the U.S., so we are not working in Canada and are not able to really help or support those scientists. But I don't believe the U.S. is alone in this. I think that in many parts of the world where, you know, politics and commercial interests bump up against science, you know, problems exist for a whole multitude of reasons. And again, you know, I am not an expert on the drug importation issue at all. Again, what I can tell you is that, you know, we need to make sure that the Food and Drug Administration that looks at these issues has the integrity it needs to make the best decisions for the U.S. You know, there are so many problems there right now. We have less than a third of the scientists there thinking that the agency is moving in the right direction. I mean, we have 497 scientists that disagreed or strongly disagreed with that statement. As long as we have numbers like that, you know, no one is really going to be safe.
Oh, absolutely. I have to be very involved in the holistic community, Dr. Griffo. And one of the concerns that I had many years ago, as a matter of fact, I had spoken to a friend of mine who worked for Dow Corning, and one of the things he told me, he said, you know what we do all day long? And I said, no, what? And he says, we work with supplements and herbs right now. That is the main study that we are working with right now. And this is a very, very frightening field. As a person that believes in herbs and food supplements, food-grade supplements are almost unbelievably impossible to regulate. Well, first of all, that's one of the problems that the FDA has been having with them. How can we enhance transparency in the studies that are currently being done on herbs and supplements of food-grade quality and get any kind of substantial information with the transgressions that are going on right now?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, one of the issues that's very closely related to that has to do with FDA having sufficient resources to really effectively perform its mission of protecting public health and helping the public get accurate science-based information they need to use medicines and foods to improve their health. Right now, we have, you know, nearly 70% of our respondents, or 686 scientists, don't believe that the FDA has those resources that it needs to do exactly that. As long as that agency is looked upon as a, you know, just in the pocket of industry or working with industry and not truly being there to safeguard the American public and the world public, because so many things, if they're declared safe here, are thought to be, you know, safe internationally. So I think that's, you know, that's just a huge issue and certainly one that we have to worry about.
Very interesting. Again, this is a disturbing area for my senses, because there is, I mean, it's an area that's already fraught with charlatanism, fraught with, you know, over-exaggerated statements about certain products and stuff like that, and then we have the FDA that is just basically waiting in the background to harness some kind of capital gain around this issue. And it's very frightening. It's like, who do you trust anymore? How can you trust anybody? It's almost to the point where it seems that we go after... it seems that I know in my community, in the community of my peers that who deal with holistic, in a lot of cases are going out of the country in order to get appropriate information that we should have at our availability right now, and still are not trusting. And that's unfortunate.
It is, absolutely. And I think that, you know, I think that we really have to hold the Food and Drug Administration and these other institutions accountable. Because, in fact, you know, that is the mission of the FDA. The mission is to protect public health and help the public get the accurate science-based information they need to use medicines and foods to improve their health. That's their mandate. That's their mission. That's why they were created. And we need to make sure that they actually follow through on that.
Well, you know, this has just been an amazing experience. How can we help the scientists remain concerned? What is our job in this?
Well, I think our job is that, you know, if you care about this issue, I think people so underestimate the effect of a phone call or a letter to their member of Congress. I mean, if you're worried about transparency at the FDA, you need to call your representative and tell them that. If you're worried about these issues at these other federal agencies, you know, people are much, much more powerful than they believe. They need to get out there and speak with their decision makers. They need to write letters to the editors. These topics are in the news all the time. You know, today's editorial in the New York Times about the Department of Interior is just begging for people to write letters to the editor saying, this is appalling. This is awful. This must stop. And that's, you know, people just need to do exactly what you're doing here, which is, you know, people need to speak. And that's what it's about. If you need more ideas and want more help doing that, please, please, please come to our website. It's www.ucsusa.org. And there's a little tab in the upper right that says Scientific Integrity. And you click on that, and you're in, and we will help you.
You heard it here, and for those of you that didn't have a pen and write that down, you can click our site, thepeoplespeakradio.org. Dr. Francesca Griffo will be there along with all of her site information, and you can access it through that. Thank you very much, Professor Griffo. It has been a distinct honor and a privilege having you with us. Keep up the good work. You renew our faith in in our government, our officials, and our scientific community. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming to a close, but I don't want everybody to forget that tomorrow night we have a special show. Rabbi Yisrael David Weiss will be here of the Natura Carto in New York City, and it's promised to be a very entertaining, very interesting, and very powerful show. I hope to see you all here with us tomorrow night. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a wrap. Good night, everybody, from The People Speak.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the seawall by the relief office I saw my people. And they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is yours. This land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.